Testing. One, two.
Right?
Testing.
Why don't you guys tell where you're going to be next? That's what I was going to say. Red Murphy Henry, folks.
I wrote, it's called Hazel Creek. It's named after a creek that flows right through the middle of Habersham County up in North Georgia, where I'm from. And we're awful happy to be down here at the Florida Folk Festival. We're living up in Virginia now, in Winchester, Virginia, and it's just about a 15-hour ride from there to here. And we'll be heading out right after our last show tonight, just to be back to Winchester in time for a Little League ball game. So Red's playing Little League now. And anyhow, we've tried to pick out some songs we hope that you're going to enjoy. And here's Red to sing one that was written by a friend of ours, no stranger to the Florida Folk Festival or the Bluegrass Festivals in Florida, the late, great Chubby Anthony, one of the finest fiddle players around, an excellent guitar picker and songwriter. This is called Baby, I'm Georgia Bound.
Y'all been uptown this morning. Hey, man, you should have seen my frown. My suitcase is packed and I'm loaded. I'm leaving you, baby, I'm Georgia bound.
Oh, I finally got the hint I wasn't wanted. I see that I got into your way. And like a ship that's bound across the ocean, I'm leaving old Hyde on my way.
Lord, y'all been uptown this morning. Hey, really should have seen my frown. My suitcase is packed, I'm loaded. I'm leaving you, baby, I'm Georgia bound.
But now that it's all over, I'm leaving old Hyde, I'm on my way.
Lord, you'd have been uptown this morning. Hey, really should have seen my frown. My suitcase is packed and I'm loaded. I'm leaving you, baby, I'm Georgia bound. Thank you. uptown this morning. Ain't really should have seen my frown. My suitcase is packed and I'm lonely. I'm leaving you, baby, I'm Georgia bound.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much, Mighty Fine, and a great big special White Springs howdy to everybody. Well, I see you're up there in the key of B-flat, Murphy. That must portend some original music here. Do you have some expostulation to commit here before this crowd on the origin and nature of this particular number?
Yes, I thought I might tell the folks just a little bit about this song. A lot of the songs that I write, I get ideas for them from having lived in North Georgia for about 20 years before we started moving around. And, you know, when I was growing up, we spent a lot of time going to church, and we always attended the Baptist church when I was growing up. And I was from a very small town called Clarksville. We had about 2,000 people in it. We always attended the church right in the middle of town. Now, when I was growing up, we used the old, remember the old Broadman hymnals. They had a green back in them. On them, and we did a lot of the songs that probably you're kind of familiar with. We did Amazing Grace, and we did What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and you know, some songs like that. And right in the middle of the book were all the blood songs, you know, Washed in the Blood, Power in the Blood, The Old Rugged Cross, things like that. And I enjoyed that, you know, as far as it went. But once a year, we'd get to go with my granddaddy out to the little country church where he was raised as a boy. And they were still using the old Stamps Baxter paperback shake note hymnals out there. And we'd have a big old family reunion. We'd have dinner on the ground. Then after everybody had gotten finished eating, we'd go back in the church and sing all afternoon. Now, those people could flat out do some singing. That was about the closest thing I'd ever heard to bluegrass at the time. They were singing songs like I'll Fly Away, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, Precious Memories, and Have a Little Talk with Jesus. And I thought that was about the prettiest music I'd ever heard in my life, and I always looked forward to the family reunion. I tried to capture just a little bit of that feeling for their music in this song that I wrote. It's called Hallelujah, How They Love to Sing. Church in town most every week. Once a year we'd gather at a little country church for a family reunion we held at Amy's Creek. The dinner on the ground, it was delightful, and the singing, it was mostly done by ear. We never sang like that back in the city. I guess the folks were scared the Lord might hear. A four-part harmony, oh, how sweet to me, never quite on key, such a mystery. How the people sang when the church bells rang. Hallelujah, how they love to sing. Always brought a tear. When close the shall we gather at the river, and said we'd see you back again next year. Oh, but Grandpa Grover died in the springtime, and the family reunion passed away. But I'll always hold it dear, for there I learned to hear people sing in the old-fashioned way. A four-part harmony, oh how sweet to me, never quite on key, such a mystery. How the people sang when the church bells rang. Hallelujah, how they love to sing. How the people sang when the church bells rang. Hallelujah, how they love to sing. Hallelujah, how they love to sing.
thank you all. That's How They Love to Sing. That's the lead-off number on one of our 12-inch LP 33 and one-third long play record albums, I believe, Murphy.
Yes, indeed, yes, Red. Red, if you'd get out your mandolin right now, we'll see if we can't limber your fingers up on that.
Yes, dear.
This, this is one of our brand new songs. After we moved up to Virginia, it kind of took me a little while to get in the mood for writing songs up there. You know, it was a totally new area. And so in the last few months, I've been doing some writing, and Red's going to play the mandolin on this one. It's got kind of a little blues tinge to it. You know, we listen to some amount of blues, you know, in bluegrass, and I got to listening to some of those, like, old Jimmy Rogers songs and things that songs men have written about the blues, and it almost inevitably started out, you know, when a man gets a blues, he hops the first freight train that he meets. And I'm going, oh, well, that's just wonderful, you know. First of all, what have men got to get the blues about to begin with?
And you mean then, aside from taking care of a wife and children?
Right, exactly. And then, you know, the first little thing that happens, they're just going to leave town. They're getting on a train. Well, you know, it's a lot different for women. We can't really go anywhere. So I got to thinking about, you know, what happens when I get the blues? And I thought about myself, and I thought about a lot of the other women that I know that get the blues. And then this line came to me, and I had my song. When a woman gets the blues, she grabs a bag of M&Ms and eats. So this is called the M&M Blues.
One, two, three.
When a man gets the blues, he hops the first freight train that he meets. When a man gets the blues, he hops the first freight train that he meets. But when a woman gets the blues, Lord, she grabs a bag of M&Ms and eats. She eats the brown ones first, she eats the yellow ones fast, she eats the orange ones next, she saves the red ones on to last because she likes to. It makes her feel like she is in control. And when your body's out of kilter, a little M&M can soothe your mortal soul. What if the blues remain behind? When the M&Ms are finished, what if the blues remain behind? Well, she rushes to the market, M&Ms both plain and peanut on her mind. She buys the biggest bag she can, she buys a Diet Coke too. She's a walking contradiction, and she's just like me and you would come tomorrow. She vows she'll never do this anymore. Oh, you know you've done it yourselves. But just in case she needs them, she hides some M&Ms behind the door. But just in case she needs them, she hides some M&Ms behind the door. Thank you. Thank you, Chocoholics. Everywhere, yes. Well, you know, in a bluegrass band, you don't normally set the mandolin player out on stage to do a solo number, but we're going to let Red do that, and we just hope he doesn't play it so low that we can't hear it. Red?
Yes, dear. Well, you see, we wrote a mandolin tune. This is about 1979 or 80, I guess. We wrote a mandolin tune. We had no name for it until one day when we were playing some music in a recording studio. We were doing some recording over in Jacksonville, and there was a wild guitar player there from L.A. That's Lower Alabama, not Los Angeles. And we played this tune for him, and he said, "Oh, wow." Well, this is 1979. You could still say, "Oh, wow." He said, "Why don't you call it Red Zeppelin?" So we did. Thank you. Thank you all. That's the formerly nameless tune, now called Red Zeppelin.
Mighty fine, Red.
Well, while we have the mandolin out here, Murphy, I think we ought to mention to the folks that song you sang, Eminem Blues, brand new song. It has just been released on a cassette tape of banjo music.
Brand new cassette tape.
Which you have available and which we'll have for sale also out of our van over here just after the set.
Yes.
Thanks for the commercial.
We'd like to... she's already here. Yeah, invite our daughter Casey up to play a couple of numbers with us on the bass. How about a nice hand for Casey Henry? And, Red, I believe if you would get the fiddle out. We need the fiddle for this one, if you don't mind. We're going to be... First, don't forget about our banjo workshop later on this afternoon. I think 4 o'clock from 4 to 5 over in the workshop area. And we'll be talking about playing the banjo, answering any questions. And, of course, if nobody has any questions, I'm just going to stand up there for an hour and talk about the Murphy Method way of learning to play the banjo by ear. So you might want to come armed with some questions. Or I might have to stand up there and play the banjo for an hour. Which that could be kind of interesting, too. And don't forget about our show tonight. We'll be closing out the program over at the main stage. And we'd like to do this song. Of course, part of the show tonight is going to be a memorial for Gamble. And I know a lot of you folks are not going to be able to stay for the show, so we'd like to do our own little tribute to Gamble right here. It's a song that I wrote. A lot of people don't know that Gamble introduced Red and me to each other at, of course, a bluegrass festival in Livonia, Georgia. And he was a major influence on us in our music and in our lives. And, you know, Red had grown up down in Florida, and, of course, Gamble was such a big part of the folk scene down here that Red... grew to, you know, love him and his music in his own way down there, while in the other end of the scale, I was up in North Georgia trying to attend the University of Georgia, trying to become a doctor, enrolled in the pre-med program. Somebody took me to hear Gamble play at a little club called The Last Resort, and my career went pew. Spent the next 2 years of my life following the bluegrass and folk scene in Athens. Traded my 12-string in for a 6-string, traded my motorcycle in for a banjo, and it... all stemmed from Gamble. And then when Red and I got together, we both had this this wonderful friend in common, and I think we, along with many of you, would stay to hear the very last songs of all his sets, hoping we could just get a word in with him. He meant so much to us, and I tried to capture a little bit of this song that I wrote for him. He was a poet and a singer and a sage. By night he worked his magic from the stage. He played for friends and family, for philosophers and fools. Gifted hands and a guitar were his tools. Southern, slow and gracious was his style. Randy, wise and knowing was his smile. A silver spoon, his birthright, he had a redneck in his soul. It was Faulkner versus football from the pole. Plied his trade in bistros and in bars. He played the blues on a battle-scarred guitar. And while the world was laughing at the stories he'd impart, I took his songs and hid them in my heart. Then one day the singer, he was gone. There'd be no more stories, Lord. There'd be no songs. And the folks who worked around him, they all broke down and cried. We never knew we loved him till he died. No, we never knew we loved him till he died. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll, we'd like to call to the stage right now. Chris? Where's Chris? We lost our next player here. There he is. Okay, we'd like to call to the stage right now a little fella that Gamble certainly would have approved of. He's our son, Christopher Henry. He's Chris? Where is he? He's getting his medal. Have a nice hand for Chris. He's... Chris echoed one of Gamble's lines just the other day when in the house, you know, we had these Coca-Colas. We're preparing them to take them to the festival. And, of course, like a lot of, you know, your parents of the 90s, you don't like your kids to drink too many Cokes. Christopher came home from school, opened the refrigerator, pulled out a Coke, popped the top, and was drinking it. I said, Christopher, how many times have I told you not to get a Coke out? Drink some orange juice, you know, drink some milk. He said, well, you know, Mom, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. I'm going, oh,
well, Murphy, you know, while you're getting the other instruments there, it just occurred to me how this is the 24th year since the first time I appeared on this old stage right here. Here's a picture. Here's a little White Springs trivia. The Dave's Brothers Band, including their mandolin player, Red Henry, in May of 1968, right there. Let's see where we are here. They'll all appreciate it. Thank you. Well, Murphy, where you're standing is right between where Grady Thompson was and me, and where I'm standing is right between Bill Pine and Grady. Just a little White Springs trivia, folks.
And if you would like your own copy of a picture of this autographed by Red Henry, just send your money, self-addressed stamped envelope, right? Are you selling them or just what?
Well, no, I just thought it was a nice thing to know.
Oh, okay, all right. I wasn't sure if we're into the commercial again. All right, Christopher's going to sing a good old folk song for you in the key of A. Key of A. We'd like to do this especially for Brandon.
Where's the capo?
It's in my pocket.
Yeah. I didn't want to.
No, you don't. It's one called I'm Going Down the Road Feeling Bad.
Boy, somebody just absolutely been pounding on this guitar. Going down the road feeling bad.
I'm ready. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad, Lord, Lord. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. Is that microphone? Yes? Three people said yes and two people said no, Chris. Could we kick his mic up a little bit? Ready?
These $2 shoes hurt my feet. These $2 shoes hurt my feet. These $2 shoes hurt my feet, Lord, Lord. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. These $90 Reeboks fit me fine. These $90 Reeboks fit me fine. Fit me fine, Lord, Lord, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad, Lord, Lord, and I ain't gonna be treated this way.
Thank you.
cornbread and beans, Lord, Lord. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down the road feeling bad, Lord, Lord.
Nice job, Christopher. We'll take a little trip back into nostalgia right here and do a song. It's one of the very first songs I wrote when I started playing the bluegrass music. And this song dates back to my high school days up in the, of course, corner of Northeast Georgia. When I was going to high school, for those of you who can remember back that far, going steady was a real big thing. So if you were a girl particularly and you weren't going steady with somebody, there wasn't just a whole lot to do when the weekends came along, you know. About the only thing you had left to do was borrow your parents' car for the evening, drive around, pick up all your girlfriends, turn the radio up on full blast, and head for the nearest Dairy Queen to go riding around. Of course, all the boys that weren't going steady had also headed down to the Dairy Queen, ostensibly to ride around also, but I'm sure I don't need to tell you that the end result of all this riding around that was supposed to be going on in Habersham County, at least from the girls' point of view, it was... Cover your ears. You know, I don't normally tell this story with my kids on stage. This is kind of a new experience. It was to get picked up, of course. And of course, some of us were luckier at that than others. Actually, the lucky ones in Habersham County were the ones that didn't get picked up. It's a little bit like riding around Lake City, you know what I mean? Anyhow, I was just telling you all that so you'd understand where art comes from. This is the title song of our first record album. It's called Riding Around on Saturday Night. When Saturday night would roll around and I without a date was found, which usually was the case, I hate to say, I'd make a dash for the telephone. I'd call Sharon, Jane, and Joan and say, y'all want to go riding around? I'd put on my newest Bobby Brooks shirt, John Romaine headband, a villager skirt, my Ouija loafers, and the footies with the balls on the back. I'd cover my face with clear sales of tweed cologne for that fragrant smell. I felt just like a model from 17 magazine. Riding around Saturday night, staying home just wouldn't seem right. Turn on your radio, what a delight, riding around Saturday night. Who'd parked at the lake in town, but we found that too depressing, so we split. We rode out to see the haunted house, but everything there was quiet as a mouse, so we drove down Thrill Hill a couple of times. With the radio blaring out like my fire, the girls decided to retire to the Dairy Queen for an order of Cokes and French fries. When we got there, the lights of the slowdown line of cars going around it time after time, local boys revving their engines and hiding their beer. Riding around on Saturday night, staying home just wouldn't seem right. Turn on your radio, what a delight, riding around on Saturday night. There was to see. We're about to leave when Jane said to me, check out that hunk on the table over there. Well, I turned my head and beheld the sight of a pair of wingtips and jeans so tight you could see the outline of his wallet in his back pocket.